Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
All right, open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we are in a series of messages from the new year. We started on being intentional, and we're dealing in the context of our worship right now. And we will hopefully soon deal with the context of our witness and our walk. But today we're going to continue in the study of worship. And we're going to talk today about something that I hope, I really sincerely mean, will be a great encouragement to you, because sometimes, listen to me for a minute. Everybody look up for a minute. I know you're trying to find your spot for a minute. Just listen to the heart of your preacher for a moment today. Sometimes in life as a believer in Christ, sometimes it can get difficult. Sometimes it can get discouraging. Sometimes you can get weary in service to your Lord. Now, other times may be weary in sin, but we're not going in that direction. But sometimes you can get weary in service. I love to read, and one of the books that I read years ago was a book called Leading on Empty. Now, of course, contextually, it's for pastor. It's a pastor giving his heart and sharing just some aspects of ministry and sharing some thoughts of ministry and how he had gotten weary one time. But in the context of that, he talks about how he had gotten alone with the Lord. He just went up, got in a place of solitude, went up in an area, and just got alone with God. Nobody around, no phones, no cell phones, no internet, no anything. Just got alone with the Lord, and this was what he prayed. He said, "God, would you please silence every voice but your own?" You know, there's some times in life when we need to hear from God. But here's what we have to understand. Sometimes God has to get us in a point in our life where all we can do is cry out to Him. Where He has to kind of quiet everything. Where He has to, you know, because listen, this world will do everything in its power to discourage you. You know, I don't know who it was, but it's a lie. Whoever said that when you come to Christ and you give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be easy from that day forward, that's a lie from hell. It may be difficult. Matter of fact, I would encourage you. This may sound like an oxymoron, but I would encourage you that you giving your life to Jesus Christ, you may face some discouraging days. You may face some difficult days, but here's the good news and here's the encouragement in it. The good news is, and the encouragement in it, is you're not alone anymore. He's with you if you have Him as your Savior. If you've repented of your sin and placed your faith in the shed blood and the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord, and God has saved you the moment you repented and trusted Christ indeed as Savior and Lord. God saved you. He changed your life. But in life, life isn't easy. You say, "Preacher, I didn't come this morning to be discouraged." Don't hear my heart for a moment. Life isn't easy, but the good news is, in our worship with our Lord, being intentional in our worship with our Lord, what do we do when we get weary in service? What do we do? Well, I'm going to share some things with you this morning. I hope will be an encouragement with you and to you. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, if you found your place, please stand in honor and reverence. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start in verse number 12. We'll read two verses together. I love this passage of Scripture. And the reason I love this passage of Scripture is because of the imagery that it gives us. It paints pictures. This passage will paint some pictures in your mind that I pray you never forget. Not because I'm preaching it, but because it's the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 12. The writer of Hebrews writes, and he says, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it, look what he says, but let it rather be healed. Our Father, we love you. We're grateful, Lord, for your grace. We're grateful, Lord, for your mercy in our lives. We're grateful, God, that often in our lives, when we don't know what in the world's going on, we can rest in the fact that, God, you do. You do know what's going on. So, Father, I pray that you'll meet with us. I pray, God, I acknowledge, first of all, Lord, that indeed you are meeting with us, and we're grateful for that. We felt your presence already in this room. So, Lord, we pray that you will do what only you can. For it's in Christ's holy name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What do you do when you get weary in service? What do you do when serving Jesus Christ is you're not in the easy times? Well, I mean, if I can just speak into you, to your life for just a moment, what do you do when it isn't easy serving Jesus? You still serve him. What do you do whenever you don't necessarily know what the next step, or what the next phone call is going to bring? You keep serving him. What do you do when it's become maybe in your own life, as far as what used to be a song now has become a challenge? What do? You keep singing. What do you do when life has just beat you up and trial and test has just overwhelmed you? What do? You keep serving Jesus Christ, because that's why you were created. You and I were created for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to worship our Lord. Worship, ascribing excellence or honor to God alone is the definition we gave you several weeks back. To worship God, to ascribe excellence, to ascribe honor to God alone. You know, somebody said that, yes, indeed, he's a God on the mountain, but thankfully and praise God, he's a God in the valley. Amen? I'm grateful for that. I know you are. But what the writer does in this passage is he gives us three pictures in two verses. We see them, and we're going to kind of expound on them this morning. Now, to understand the context as to why these verses are given, he begins right away in verse 12. He uses the word wherefore. Now, when you study your Bible, this may seem elementary to some, but maybe you're hearing it for the first time. Anytime in the Word of God, when you come to words wherefore, or the words there, or the word therefore in your Bible, it literally has kind of got it with the intention of that, those words is to get the reader to understand that what the writer is about to say is because of what has already been stated. He's given us some verses. Now he's saying wherefore, or therefore, he wants us to flip back and understand what he's getting ready to say is based on what he's already said. So he's now saying, he says, wherefore, look at the text. He said, wherefore, look at verse 12. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. So he's talked about hands which hang down. He's talked about feeble knees. He's talked about lame feet. Now, why is he talking about this? Well, look back at chapter 12, verse 1. So here's the imagery. Verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, let's tie those two together. So verses 12 and 13, he's talked about these hanging hands, these feeble knees, these lame feet, all in the backdrop, all in the understanding of he's observing a race. He's observing runners in the race. Ladies and gentlemen, very elementary, but understand this. The race that the writer is talking about is the race of the believer. The moment you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you became a runner in this race. How many of you like to run? Two of you. Three of you. You're not right. If you see me running, call an ambulance. Call the police because something is probably chasing me. But the writer is wanting us to kind of get a picture of this race. And he's wanting us to see these runners in this race. But there's something odd about the runners. There's something, amen, brother. There's something odd about runners. But anyway, that's another sermon. And thank the Lord it won't be coming from me. But there's something odd. As he looks at these runners, he notices some characteristics that aren't normal of somebody that's running a race. This runner, his hands are hanging down. This runner, he's not running like he used to. This runner, he may have started off well, but all along the way, he's gotten a little discouraged. All along the way in this race of this believer, he's gotten a little fatigued. He's gotten a little weary in the race. And the writer is now calling upon the believers and that are going to read these verses. He says, hey, there's a runner out there. His hands are hanging down. His knees are feeble. He's got some lame feet. He's still running. He's not running like he should. He's not running like he did when he first started off in this race. And we need to help him. He said, wherefore, lift up. That phrase lift up is where we get our English word orthopedic. It describes like an orthopedic surgeon who goes in and performs surgery on bones of the body and maybe your knees or what have you. The imagery is like a skilled surgeon. He said, we need to lift them up. We need to encourage. Ladies and gentlemen, your preacher this morning, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're in this same race with me. Sometimes it gets discouraging. Sometimes it gets a little hard. But thank God you're not in this race alone. There's nobody in this race alone. You say, yeah, preacher, but there are some times you feel like you're the only one in it. That's because we have an enemy. And he wants you to think that you're the only one in this race. But I got the authority of God's Bible to let you and I know that we are not in this alone. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that are great encouragers. My wife and I had, as I said to you, we already had the blessing Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Stayed over, spent another night, stayed over, and left out Friday. Made her way to Northern Kentucky, spent the night with Jeff and Charlay Fain, and then sang at their wild game dinner yesterday. But Tuesday night was awesome. The whole week was awesome. My wife and I, this year in December, will celebrate 20 years of marriage. Can you believe she's put up with me that long? Who said no? You've just discouraged me. Security. No, I can't believe she's done it. 20 years ago, 20 years ago, we got married December 17th, 1949. Hang on. 94. Is that right? Well, I was like, you're on your own, big boy. The guy I married him in 1994. And we honeymooned in Gatlinburg. How many of you ever been to Gatlinburg? If you haven't been to Gatlinburg, you need to go to Gatlinburg. But take some money with you. Got to get a witness in the building. So we were, honestly, I don't think you'd been, we went back, Ashley was 4 months old after that, and that's the last time Buttercup has been down there. You say, well, have you been down there? Well, my cousins and I went golfing, but anyway, we'll leave that alone. Why'd you bring that up? So we went, and as I said, we're down there, with 125 pastor and pastor wife couples. You know what? When you get around other brothers and sisters in Christ, other pastors and their wives in ministry, you can ask Leslie this. As we were sitting there talking, and that, not to sound odd, but as we were sitting there talking and we would share our stories and we would, you know, the natural thing, they'd see your tag. Oh, you're from all the way from Warren, Michigan. Wow. And I was teasing Danny Singleton. He was down there. And many of you know Brother Danny. He was just here a few weeks back. And I told Brother Danny, he says, he's from Georgia. He lives in Georgia. And he's a sissy. But anyway, we'll leave it alone. And he asked me, he said, hey, did you run into any bad weather coming across the mountains? I said, well, we did hit some snow coming across the mountains. I said, but Bill, you appreciate this. I said, but Danny, being from Michigan, I said, yeah, I ran into some really bad road. I said, it was so bad, I had to slow down to 70 miles an hour. Amen? But we had something amazing happen Tuesday night. My favorite preacher in America is a man by the name of Johnny Hunt, Dr. Johnny Hunt. Many of you know him, and I've been following his ministry for probably 15 years of my life. What you don't know is, I'll share this from my heart. What you don't know is, been going through a little bit of discouraging time. Not saying that as a pity party, not saying that as for you to feel sorry for me, but just hear my heart. So, Les and I show up, and I'd been talking to one of Brother Johnny's assistants for a while, and he'd planned this and had worked all the details out, and Brother Stephen had made some calls. And as I said to Brother Allen, I said, Brother Allen, I met him for the first time. He says, hey, Brother Tracy, good to see you. Then he said these words to me. Now, we're in a big ballroom. Teenagers went to the Gatlinburg Convention Center. You guys were on the bottom floor with the concrete. We were on the top floor with the cushions carpet. Amen. And Alan said to me, he says, oh, Brother Tracy, he said, we were getting ready to eat dinner. And this is a big ballroom, beautiful ballroom. And there's 250 people plus people in there. All these pastors and pastors' wives. And Dr. Johnny Hunt and his wife are hosting this great conference. And Brother Alan looked at me and my wife and says, oh, Brother Tracy, he says, I just want you to know. He said, tonight you and your wife are having dinner with Brother Johnny Hunt and his wife. And he said, you're sitting at the head table with Dr. Johnny and his family, his wife. There was three other couples that were there with us. You know, that was a great encouragement to me. And he sat there, and him and his wife sat there, and they just talked to us, encouraged us. So here's the runner. Here's this runner. You know, I'm grateful to God that sometimes in this Christian life, God knows what we need before we even ask it. That's the kind of God I have. That's the kind of Heavenly Father I have. So let's dig in. Let's watch this runner. Let's look at this runner. Now, there may be some, maybe, and I hope not, but there may be some that are sitting here today say, well, why in the world would you ever get discouraged? That's kind of terrible that you would ever get discouraged. Well, hang on a minute. Let me check some. No, there's no super preacher on my chest. I just want to make sure. My wife thinks I'm super, but there's no super Christian on my chest. The point is, we all can if we're not careful. But let's look at this runner. Let's take a look at this runner. Let's get some pictures here. And I'm not going to keep you long, because I get in at 2 o'clock and you lose an hour, it makes it 3 a.m. So guess what I'm doing this afternoon? Me and Buttercup are taking a nap. And we're going to make the Herald kids go to your house. And don't send any of your heathens over to my house today. Just kidding. Notice number one, we see the matter of spiritual hopelessness. The matter of spiritual hopelessness. The context is, this is a believer in Christ. This is a born-again Christian running the race as a believer in Jesus. And as they're running this race, they start to get a little distracted. They start to get a little discouraged. Maybe leads, as we've been talking about, leads to some delusional thoughts. They start believing some things that aren't true. As we sat with different couples, and each night we sat with couples, and just to show you how small of a world this is that we live in, we sat across from a couple, a husband and wife, a male and a female. You have to clarify that in this culture. But we sit across from at this table, and there's 8 of us total, and we start talking. They're asking us, oh, my wife had met the wife in the earlier session in the day. And listen to this. The woman was from Michigan. This other couple, she was from Michigan, and her husband was from Kentucky. Can I get a witness in the building? And my wife says to her, she said, well, I want my husband to meet your husband. They're from Kentucky. They've got to meet. So we sat down. We started eating dinner together, and we were just making small talk. And they were like, well, yeah, you know, I said, well, where are you pastor? And he says, I pastor in Burlington, Kentucky, which was not too far from where I grew up. And I said, well, my best friend pastors in Cold Spring, Kentucky. And they said, oh, okay, we know a pastor over there. I said, Pastor Jeff Fain. Just shows you how small the world is. I said, yeah, that's my best friend. They said, oh, we know Brother Jeff. Matter of fact, Brother Jeff's preaching our church. And then his wife says, and Jeff's wife is best friends with Michael, the pastor, Michael's sister. And she said, they graduated high school together. To which I said, wait a minute. I graduated high school with Charlay, that's Jeff's wife. Jeff is 30 years older than Charlay. You know how Pastor Fain got Miss Charlay to date him? He walked through the nursery with a bag of lollipops. It's terrible. Don't you dare tell him I said that. It's on the internet. He ain't gonna watch it. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I graduated. Come to find out, this pastor, younger sister, and I went to high school together, graduated together. It's just a small world. We started talking, just sharing stories. Say, where are you going with this? I have absolutely no idea other than to pick on Jeff Fain this morning. But we see this matter of spiritual hopelessness. The Bible says again in verse 12, he said, wherefore, now again, we're in a race. We're running this race. He says, lift up the hands which hang down. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I do not run marathons. I don't even run 5Ks. I don't even run to the refrigerator. I don't even get into a slight jog. I don't know what he just said, and I'm thankful probably. But there are runners in our church. We have several runners in our church. We have one in our church that ran the Chicago Marathon. Isn't that amazing? We have others that have run 5Ks in our church. We have others that have run half marathons in our church. Some of you like to run, and it's become a hobby, and you become very passionate about it. So if I say something that is contradictory of what a runner would be, feel free to correct me tomorrow, okay? But we're going to watch this runner. And the Bible says this runner, we're watching him. We're watching this runner. And all of a sudden, we know something's odd about the way he's running. His hands aren't up here. They're not up here. They're hanging down. As a matter of fact, he's hunched over a little bit. He's slumped over. And wait a minute. This isn't just any runner. This is a runner in the race of the Lord Jesus. We know. You know this, right? You know that if you know Christ as your Savior, we all win in the end. You know that, right? We all will hit the tape. I just pray we hit it in full stride. But this runner, he's a little, it's a picture. We there's some spiritual hopelessness in these verses. The imagery is of a man. He's frozen with fear and anxiety. Do not raise your hand because I would not want to embarrass anyone in this context. Other contexts, maybe I would want to embarrass you, but not in this context. You ever had times in your life that no matter how many verses you tried to memorize, no matter how many sermons you tried to listen to, you couldn't get the fear away to save your life? You ever had times in your life that you had anxiety and there was absolutely, you could not get it out of your heart, you could not get it out of your mind? That's this runner. This runner is just frozen with fear. He's frozen. They're frozen with anxiety. You know, now understand, there may be some that say, yeah, but preacher, if we're serving Jesus, pastor, the Bible says we're not to fear. Amen. You know what I've noticed, though, and you know what I've learned in my own personal life? Sometimes fear overtakes you, and in your own physical strength, listen, stay with me. You feel hopeless.
You get so overwhelmed in a trial. I've been telling you this, and this is out of my own heart, is why I've been telling you this. Sometimes in life, remember, you've heard your preacher say this the last several Sundays? Sometimes in life, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't look for the light. You listen for His voice. You listen for His voice because God's children know His voice. Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice. And here's what my sheep do, Jesus said. And He's talking to all those Pharisees and others. He said, my sheep hear my voice and oh, they follow me. You see, sometimes you can't see where God's taking you. You just have to listen and then follow when He calls. This runner, he's discouraged. He's frozen in fear. There's two things under this. When the Bible talks about the hands which hang down in this passage, it presents the picture of a person, listen to this, the person that is beaten down, defeated, discouraged, hopeless. In the last couple of months, I talked to a lot of pastors. I love pastors. My best friends are pastors. In the last couple of months, I've had two pastors say to me on different occasions. One pastor is so discouraged, sitting over dinner with this preacher in the last several months, sitting over dinner with this preacher. Here's a preacher that has been in the fight for 30 years. He's been pastoring for a long, long time. And sitting in a restaurant, he starts, you would never know this, he starts crying like a baby. And he says these words. He said, Tracy, he said, I just feel, he said, I can't explain it. He said, weary in service. He said, I just feel like something inside of me has died. You say, what'd you do? For about the next hour, I tried by the help of the Lord to use the motivational gift of Romans 12 that God's placed in me of encouragement, exhortation. I tried to pour into him and encourage him. Another pastor, Brother Bill, listen to this one. Another pastor had one of his deacons meet with him and said all kinds of things to this pastor that I know. And this deacon ripped him up one side and down the other, brother. Said lies about this pastor's wife. Lies. All over this pastor wanting to start something new, a new ministry of reaching hurting people. Wow. You know what was wrong with that deacon? We don't have this around here. I promise you before my Lord, we don't have this spirit around here. You know what's wrong with that deacon? He's misunderstood the office God's called him to. He's called to serve that body, not straighten that preacher out. And I promise, you can ask our deacons, and I love our deacons. I'm very close to our deacons. I love them, and they support me, and they have been a blessing to me. I bear hugged Bill when I saw him out in the parking lot this morning. Because I love him. I love these men. So I've been dealing with these, with some of this kind of stuff. So here's these preachers that are wearing fight. Can I be vulnerable this morning? Let me just share my heart with you. Are you aware? Look up here, everybody. Are you aware that if the devil can get the preacher, there's a good chance he'll get the church? Are you aware of that? You say, well, preacher, this church is bigger than any preacher. That's true, and understand that. Understand that. But scripturally, if the devil can take down the man of God, he has a good foothold into the congregation. And that's not, God is my witness on this, that's not to get you to feel sorry for me. That's just from my own personal heart, my own personal life. The presence of hopelessness. This man is defeated. It doesn't tell us why. It doesn't tell us what's caused this spirit of defeat in his life. It doesn't tell us what's caused this discouragement in his life. I'm almost done. It doesn't tell us what has caused this sense of hopelessness in his life. But did you see in the earlier verse of Hebrews 12, that Paul, or the writer, says, verse 1, he says, seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Those of you that are runners here today, if you're going to run in a marathon, is it fair to say, I think I can say this as an observer, not as participant, but as an observer, but you as a participant. If you're going to run, say, in the marathon, say the Chicago Marathon or Detroit Marathon or Boston, whatever you're going to run in, would you get up the morning of the race and before you got to the start line, would you then take out your training weights and put them on your wrist and on your ankles? Would you do that, Randy? You wouldn't do that, would you, brother? It'd be foolish to do that. So the writer of this part, these verses say, if we're going to run this race, we have to take the weights off. Now you say, preacher, what is the point of that? He doesn't tell us what the weights are. You know, sometimes he uses two things. The sin, the weight, the sin. There's two things in this. Sometimes you get weary in sin and your worship with God is hindered. We're not talking about that right now. Sometimes that happens. But other times you get weary in service because there are some weights that have got you down and you can't run like you used to run. So the writer is saying maybe the reason your hands are hanging down, you've allowed some things to come into your life, maybe come into your mind that are weighing you down. And he says, or lay them aside. But he gets to verse 12. So there's some personal, everybody look up. There's some personal responsibility in this race. You do know that, right? There is some personal responsibility. But there's also a possibility for other believers. So in verse 1, he deals with personal responsibility. But then he gets to verse 12, and he says, wherefore? We're watching these runners. We're all in this runners, a race. We've had some runners that have gone before us that witnessed to us. They don't witness of us. They're not looking over the balcony of heaven. I don't think that's what he's indicating. He's just this hinges on chapter 11. These runners in this race, they witnessed to us that it is possible to run this race, giving glory to Jesus and serving faithful even in the midst of difficulty. Hebrews 11 deals with that. Personal responsibility, verse 1. But other believers' possibilities in verse 12. Wherefore, lift up. That's the call to us as God's children to encourage one another in this race. Everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care how tough you made it. Guys, I'm not done. All right? Thank you. I got to the lever. Remember the lever? Trap door. Yeah. Don't make me do it. Everybody needs encouragement. You didn't hear me. Everyone needs encouragement. You say, preacher, no, I don't need encouragement. I don't need anybody. Well, you're smarter than God then. Because my God, when he saves us, he loves us so much. Guess what he does when he saves us? He places us in his family. Wow. You're my brother and sister in Jesus if you're born again. Family speaks of relationship. We're to have that relationship. You say, yeah, but I have people in my family I don't talk to. I got a Facebook message from one of my nieces I haven't seen in years. Last night she Facebooked me. She's part of my family. There's relationship. I'm going to be responding to her. Pray for her. She doesn't know Jesus as her Savior. And she said to me, she says, Uncle Tracy, she says, I now know. She said, first of all, I apologize. She wrote me a few years ago and says, why don't I ever see you? You're my uncle. Why don't I ever see you? And then she responded last night, several years later, she goes, Uncle Tracy, I owe you an apology. She said, I understand why you moved to Michigan. I'm going to respond. And at the end of it, Bill, she said, please pray for me. I think she's 19 years old. She said, please pray for me. She said, because I don't think God hears my prayer. I'm going to talk to her. Michael, I just preached on that, buddy. I'm going to talk to her. I won't go into her life story, but it's been very difficult. But this runner, let's look at him. Let's observe him. I've watched. Every now and then I do watch some of these races. One of my favorites to watch, maybe just because I take pleasure in other people's pain. I like watching them triathlons. You ever watch them triathlons? Them people are crazy. They swim in shark-infested waters. Big problem. They then get off that, and then they get on a bicycle and ride a bicycle around 4,000 miles. They swim 1,000, they jump on a bike, ride 4,000, then they run 8,000 miles or so, give or take. That's why preacher doesn't do the counting of the congregation. But man, it's just amazing. But here's what I've watched in these races. Honestly, I've watched them. My wife's like, why are you watching? I was like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. But you know what I've noticed? Some of those, when they're running, when they're in the running stage, guess what's happening on the sidelines? There's some people on the sidelines that are handing them a water bottle every now and then. There's some people on the sidelines that are handing them something of nutrition every now and then. You know what God's calling us that are in this race? We're all in this together. Some of us may be a little further down the line, but God's calling all of us to hand a bottle of water every now and then. To add some nutrition to one another every now and then. So let's look at this runner. I'm almost done. He's discouraged. He's despondent. He's hopeless. There's a sense of helplessness in his life. He's run and he's not running like he used to. He's not running hard like he used to. His hands are hanging down. And he seems like he's hopeless. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You said, Preacher, I'm glad to hear that you admit that you said thus, that you've been a little discouraged lately. I'll be praying for you more. And I do. God is my witness. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. I'm just asking you to pray for me. Some of you know what's going on. Difficult times right now. There may be some that say, yeah, but preacher, sometimes runners in this race, their hands are hanging down because of sin. Well, let me address that for a minute. And reason that they're, I wasn't going to address it, but let me just stay with me. And the reason that their hands are hanging down is because, yeah, they may have repented of that sin and got back in fellowship with God, but they now have regrets in their life, and they're going to have those regrets the rest of their life. So from this day forward, their hands are always going to hang down. Well, just hear your preacher today. I serve a God that can give grace to give you deliverance in your regrets. You don't have to be in bondage to that. I love a song. Man, I love this song. I love the lyrics of this song. A song by Matthew West. And it says these words. The title of it is Hello, My Name Is. How many of you ever heard that song? Teenagers, I know you have. Many of you have. If you've never heard it, listen to the lyrics of this song. He wrote this. This is amazing. Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met every single day of your life. I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. Picture the runner. Hands hanging down. Maybe it's because of regrets in his life. Maybe it's because he feels defeated. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Wow. Hopelessness. And then Matthew West writes the chorus. He says, these are the voices. These are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved. I've been changed. Oh, and I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I am no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. To God be the glory. Hey, man, I added that. He didn't write that. That would have been a good place to put that. I'm no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. The one who makes all things new. He has proven it's true. Just take a look at my life. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. Maybe you're running today. Maybe you're discouraged. Discouragement comes in all shapes and sizes. I don't have time to exposit all of that, what you can be discouraged in. But let's just say today, there's no gross sin in your life. Let's just say today, you've just become weary in service. You love Jesus with all your heart. But maybe you would say in the words of that pastor in that restaurant, Tracy, I just feel like something inside of me has died. This is a pastor that pastors a pretty large church, full of ministries, winning souls to Jesus on a weekly basis, reaching hundreds of people for Christ. Maybe that's you today. Preacher, I'm not running like I used to. And to be honest, if I could look in a mirror as I ran by, what would you see? If there was a mirror on the side of the road as you were running this race for Christ, what would you see right now? Are your hands hanging down? I'm grateful God doesn't tell us why they're hanging down. Because what may cause my hands to hang down may be different than your cause. God says, well, to lift them up. Encouragement lifts that up. Is it because of regrets? Listen. Is it because of defeat? Have you gotten discouraged? Is it because of delusion? You believe Satan's a liar. Your enemy is a liar. Everything about him is a lie. He whispers and says, you'll never have victory. He whispers and says, you'll never, ever get victory in this area of your life. You'll never, ever get free from fear. You'll never, ever get free from anxiety. You'll never, ever get free from this trial. It's going to weigh you down forever. No. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. God saved me and changed me. I've been set free. I may not live like it right now, but positionally, I have a perfect standing before my Savior. The invitation is this. If you're here without Christ, sweet friend, I encourage you to call upon God to be your Savior. Repent of your sin. Trust Christ, believing in His death, burial, His resurrection. You call upon Him. You ask Him to save you, cleanse you. He will save you this moment. He'll change your life. Follow your Lord in baptism. Become part of a local New Testament church where you can serve God and grow in your relationship with Jesus. We're in this together. And God wants people in your life to encourage you in your relationship with Jesus and encourage you in this race called the race for the Lord Jesus, the believer in Christ running this race. Maybe you don't need to be saved. Maybe you're just, your hands are hanging down. You're weary in this race. Hey, come down and just Talk to the Lord. There's others in this room that would pray with you. I promise you, if you come down and you look at me and you want somebody to pray with you, I have prayer warriors in this church that would love to kneel beside you and pray with you. Maybe the Lord's burdened you about somebody that you're thinking of right this moment. And maybe they're not here. Maybe you'd like to come to this altar and pray on their behalf. What the Bible calls intercessory prayer. Interceding for another brother or sister in Jesus. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. If the Lord's touched your heart, encourage you to come. He said, I'll preach, I'll do it next week. No, do it now. Do it now. Well, preach, I don't ever want anybody knowing that I'm discouraged. Here's what you don't understand, man. You don't have to let anybody know it. It will show on your face. It'll show. But maybe you just like to share that. Share that burden with others that we can pray for you. You say, well, man, I don't know that I want to do that. Because then people are going to realize I'm not the super Christian that you're not a super Christian. Neither am I. It's all by the grace of God we're even here. All right?
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.